The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Please be seated. Such important words for us to hear this morning. A refocusing, perhaps, a reminder of the gospel's core message. And some beautiful parables, stories told by Jesus to bring that message home for us today. And setting the stage for that is the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy in our second lesson, where he is reflecting on his life as the greatest missionary the church has ever known, the author of almost half of the New Testament, this champion of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles like us. And while setting down that foundational belief that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he goes on to say, of whom I am foremost. But for that reason, I received mercy. Even I, even us, even the lost. The lost are the focus of Jesus' parables in today's gospel. I love these stories so much. They come in the Gospel of Luke as Jesus has been having these conversations with the Pharisees and scribes, where they've been challenging him for doing things like healing people on the Sabbath, and now they're critical of him. You know, how does this one who calls himself a rabbi think it's okay to hang out with tax collectors and sinners? And I notice the tax collectors get their own line there, so they must be really special kind of sinners. I've always chuckled at that. In response to their accusations, Jesus tells three stories of the lost being found. We hear the first two today, and the third one is the most famous one. It's the story of the prodigal son, which we usually hear on a Sunday during Lent. Prior to that story, the one that's more famous than the others, we hear Jesus tell us of a lost sheep and a lost coin and the efforts made to find them. I want you to think of that shepherd in the story and the woman in the second story, leaving everything else behind just to find the one that was lost, a sheep or a coin, or in the case of the prodigal, a child, desperately seeking the lost. When my middle child, Mackenzie, was a toddler, about 3 years old, we had taken her and her older sister to an outdoor concert at the Reservoir in Jackson, Mississippi, where we lived. It was a 4th of July event. I think they had an orchestra there. It's like Pepsi Pops. You may have done something like that before. So this orchestra is playing patriotic music, and we're anxiously anticipating the fireworks once it got dark enough. And the place was very, very crowded. People from all over the place. A lot of our friends in our neighborhood were there. We all brought picnic blankets, and we're enjoying, you know, food and drink and our friends together. As twilight began to deepen, I looked up and noticed Mackenzie was not on the blanket. And I scanned around the immediate area where a lot of our friends were, friends that she is known to play with. She's not with them. So I holler at Jennifer and say, do you know where Mackenzie is? And she does not either. And that's when panic begins to kind of set in. If you're a parent, you may have gone through something like this yourselves. I told Jennifer, you go that way and I'm going to go towards the water. That was my greatest fear, that she'd wander down to the reservoir. And we both looked at Chelsea, our older daughter, and said, don't move. And I began to run around all the other picnickers, you know, making a crazy path around blankets and people celebrating the time together. I'm calling her name and she's not answering. And I'm deathly afraid that she had wandered too close to the water. And then I nearly ran over her. She is actually kneeling down in the dirt, completely oblivious to what we were feeling or doing. She was examining a roly-poly, which is what a three-year-old should be doing at that point in life, with no clue how much she had aged her parents in that moment. Now, we were lucky, and I'm well aware that's not always the case in stories like this, but the interesting part for me, once all that anxiety was gone, was thinking how she did not even know she was lost. And the rejoicing that all of us, our friends, our family, shared when I brought her back to our little blanket. It is the rejoicing I love so much about these stories. In all cases, when whatever is lost is found, a party breaks out. And it's not just amongst those who found the things. Jesus says it's in heaven too. In fact, whatever party you're having down here pales in comparison to how heaven rejoices when a lost one is found, rescued, welcomed home. This past week, the Episcopal Church released a report examining what we call parochial report data. A parochial report is something every parish in the Episcopal Church has to turn in every year, and it describes a couple of different things. Your financial picture, like what's your budget like, how many people are pledging, etc., and then your demographics about people, including how many active members you have, how many you've lost and gained in a year, and then the most important stat that they look at is what we call ASA, Average Sunday Attendance. It's not good news. In the last 5 years, the Episcopal Church has lost 13% of their active members and 10% drop in average Sunday attendance across the nation the last 5 years. I think the average size now of an Episcopal Church in America is like 51 people. Now, it's not just us by any means. Every Christian denomination is facing this kind of downward slide. In many ways, secularism, which we watch kind of overtake the church in Europe, is in the midst of doing the same thing here. It's a clarion call for us. And I am convinced, my friends, that we cannot program ourselves out of this slump. Instead, we must refocus and make the main thing the main thing. We, all of us, must have a passion all across the church universal, not just in St. Simon's, but certainly including us, a passion to seek out the lost with the same urgency of that shepherd, of the woman in the second story, of me and Jennifer when we're trying to find Mackenzie after she wandered off. It is our calling. It's the last thing Jesus says to the disciples before he ascends in the Gospel of Matthew is, go out into the world, make disciples, baptize. It is the reason we exist as Christians, to let people know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and that we are the foremost ones, yet we are also the redeemed ones, and that we must shout from the rooftops. I talk to a lot of people who aren't part of church anymore, or some who have never been part of a church. And the most common response I get when I ask people who are not part of a church why they aren't is, well, I don't think I'm good enough. Or I've done some really bad things. For some reason, just like the Pharisees, there still is this impression of church that that's where the good people go. Somehow they've gotten that message, somehow or other. Maybe it's from us. Maybe it's from all of us as Christians that do attend church. Maybe we've been the Pharisees to them. Jesus comes against that thinking, and we must also do the same. We need to let it be known that we seek the lost and that we are a church filled with sinners, but we are sinners with a message of hope and joy and redemption, a message that results in rejoicing in heaven, when we are sharing that with others. That's the main thing. And I also believe with all my heart that we have a unique story to tell in the Episcopal Church. This ancient and beautiful liturgy, our music, and this really firm belief that something happens at that altar. And we might not be able to describe it, but it feeds us and nourishes us. This ordinary bread and wine is not the same after we've shared the Eucharistic prayer together. And that is something that can also feed the lost. It is something everyone needs, and something that everyone needs to know about. The church must focus on the lost. Did you get that from Jesus' parables? It's pretty clear about that. It fascinates me that the sheep leaves 99 sheep to their own devices to go find this one lost one. You know, I've learned that sheep, if they do wander away from the flock, what they typically will do is hide, like under a bush or something, because they're afraid of predators once they're lost and away from those that can help them, protect them, and they won't make any sound. So you're not going to listen for the bleating of a sheep. When you got to find it, you've got to really search hard and work hard. But that kind of focus on finding the lost has to be the urgent mission of the church today. And together we can find the lost. You know them. You know them. You're friends with them. You're related to them. You work with them. Offering to them a word of hope and forgiveness could be what brings them back. And recognizing that they will not find that kind of hope and mercy and grace anywhere else. Sunday brunch is a lot of fun, but that's not where you're going to find God usually. God ordained the church to be the bearers of this message. And it is a human place, so we make a lot of mistakes along the way. But we are called to this higher calling of seeking out those who need to know the same thing that we know. You know, there's a song that you probably know that you've sung a million times, but have you listened to the words? I was once lost, and now I'm found. I was once blind, and now I see. That's what we can offer to them and to one another. I think the church has always done its best when our backs have been against the wall. If you think of the establishment of the very early church in the first two or three centuries after Jesus, they had no business growing a church like they did. The persecution that they were under, the difficulties they faced. Well, we're facing some difficulties. And it's up to us to rally around what we can offer, this beautiful liturgy, a community of people together. It's God who said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So God has decided the church will be the vehicle of what we need to get done. And now is the time to turn this ship around. Let's find them. Let's seek them out. And let's love them. Let's invite them to the party and rejoice with God and all of heaven. Because we too had been lost, but now have been found. I think that's what we need to be. Seekers of the lost. Ready to rejoice. And invite them to the party. Amen.